I'm Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion time. Today, we're going to be talking about Hebrews chapter 2 and taking communion around some of the ideas that are in Hebrews chapter 2. We're going to be talking about how faith comes by hearing. It gives this warning in the beginning of chapter 2 to pay attention to what we hear. And then later in the chapter, we talk about, we're going to see, I think it's the Apostle Paul that writes Hebrews. We don't know for sure, but it's talking about how Jesus was made lower than angels, about all that he went through to give us this new covenant of love, and how he can guide us through every test and every temptation, because he was made just like us. He shared in our humanity. So let's get started with prayer. And we're going to pray the prayer from our 30-day prayer challenge. If you're not familiar with that, you can go to theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com and you can find the Abundant Life or the 30-day prayer challenge there. And you will also find some additional training videos that go with this prayer, along with a tool that you can use to plan your day and to get, hopefully get God navigating your life, God navigating your days to help you do what's right and best in his eyes each day, and hopefully stay on track with that. But let's get started here. Heavenly Father, I just pray for all those who are watching this video, all of their families, their friends, those connected to them. And I just thank you, Lord. I thank you for releasing us from the darkness, for transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time ever began. And I just thank you for just all the good that you have done for us, Lord, the abundance of good things that you have done for us. And I just keep asking, Lord, that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe. The same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And Father, I ask you to bless us, bless our time here together. Let us all come away with practical things that we can implement, along with feeling encouraged and inspired and enlightened all at the same time. I ask you to expand our borders and our territory, expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace and love and goodness and all that you want to do in our lives, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. Father, keep your hand on us and help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. And we ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Like I said, if you want to learn more about that prayer, you can go to theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com and find more on the 30-day prayer challenge. After you pray that prayer regularly, it's a good idea to do the other half of prayer. Take a couple minutes to get still. Take a couple minutes to listen, to get tuned into God. Prayer is meant to be this two-way communication. And taking some time to let God speak back to you, taking some time to listen, let him navigate your day. And then as you go about executing your day, execute trusting that he's with you, that he's there helping you, executing with peace and joy and a good attitude. These are some of the important things to kind of get implemented right away. In our program, The Abundant Life Blueprint, this is the first thing that we want people to get established in their lives first. This is like the entry point into everything that we do. Getting this prayer established and get God navigating your day, helping, having him helping you create a plan for the day and executing it the right way with a good attitude. That's the starting point. That's the entrance for everything we do. Now, yesterday in our weekly yearly cycle video, we talked about this verse from Ezekiel chapter 44, I believe verse 5, where it says, God told Ezekiel, give attention to, pay attention to, or in Hebrew, that word could be establish, and it could be establish in your heart, the entrances and the exits, the entrance and the exits of the temple, the new temple that God was planning and designing. He told Ezekiel, give attention to, mark these, pay attention to them, establish them in your heart, the entrance and the exits of the temple. Now, we're going to see here in Hebrews chapter 2, the first thing it says in the subtitle of Hebrews chapter 2, warning to pay attention. Warning to pay attention. Pay attention to what? The entrances and the exits. What's coming in? Pay attention to what's coming in. Think about this in the physical world, nutrition. What's going in? If we want to help somebody get healthier, pay attention to what's coming in and the output of what's going out, what's leaving your body. So we're paying attention to what are we feeding on spiritually, mentally, physically? What are we feeding on? And then what's coming out of us? What are our words and our actions? If we pay attention to those, it's like a feedback loop and we can be continually making adjustments. Now, here's what it says here, starting in Hebrews chapter 2. Verse 1 says, we must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we've heard, so that we do not drift away. The entrance, what's coming in through our eyes, what's coming in through our ears, what are we hearing consistently? Why? Because faith tells us, Bible tells us, New Testament, faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. Hearing comes by the word of Christ. So are we consistently hearing God's word? You could be like this, we're listening to biblical teaching. You could be you're reading it, you're speaking it, you're meditating on it. Are we consistently feeding that into our system? Is it continually entering into our body? We got to be consistently feeding that into our system. For if the message that was spoken by angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment. So we think it's Paul is talking about the law. The law of commandments that were given to the Israelite people that was put into place by angels, it says, but mediators and angels. It was spoken by angels, and every disobedience received as just punishment. How will we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? He's talking about our new covenant. Our New Testament is greater than the law, based on better promises. This salvation, which was first announced to us by the Lord, it was announced to us by Jesus. The first one was put into effect by angels. This one was put into effect by Jesus. And it was confirmed to us by those who heard it. Talking about the disciples, I believe. And it says, God also testified to it. God testified about this new covenant of love, this new covenant of peace. God testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, distributed according to his will. These gifts of the Holy Spirit are also confirmation of this new covenant, this new testament that God has given us. Then it says, Jesus made like his brothers. It's not to angels that he has subjected the world to come, about which we're speaking. God didn't put everything under the angels' feet, but there is a place where someone has testified. What is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him. You made him a little lower than the angels, talking about Jesus, and you crowned him with glory and honor and put everything under his feet. It actually tells us in the New Testament too as well, God is going to, at some time for us, crush Satan and put everything under our feet because we are in Jesus. We're one with Jesus. In putting everything under him, God left nothing that is not subject to him. Yet, at the present time, we don't see everything subject to him. So this is going to happen. It just we don't see it all happening just yet. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. And in bringing many sons to glory, talking about us, bringing many sons to glory, where we have access to God and his glory and his essence and his presence and his goodness. It was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. Jesus was made perfect by his reverent submission, by his obedience and what he suffered. He was made perfect through that. And both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus made us to be family. We've been born again into God's family because of what Jesus did, because of his reverent submission, his obedience even unto death. And it says here, it's an interesting thing. If you look later in Hebrews chapter 10, I believe it is, we talk about this often when we take communion, that he makes us holy. He makes us righteous. We talk about this cracker that we take. It's a reminder that he has made us holy and righteous. It says even he made us perfect. And he's in the process of perfecting us. He's the author and the finisher. Think of finisher like a sandpaper. He's getting the rough edges off, getting us everything smoothed out. He makes us holy. He makes us perfect. He makes us righteous. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. He's not ashamed to call us brothers. He tells the disciples, no longer do I call you my servants. You are my friends. You are my brothers. He says, I will declare your name to my brothers in the presence of the congregation, and I will sing your praises. And again, it says, I will put my trust in him. It's this idea of eventually in our walk with God, we got to move from this place of not only just believing him, but truly trusting in him, to where in our everyday daily actions, that's where that prayer challenge prayer is so important, that we begin to plan our day with God and we walk out that day trusting that God is with us. And what are we putting our trust in? We're putting our hope and our trust in God's steadfast, unfailing love for us. That he loves us, that he's all powerful. Nothing is impossible for him. We're putting our hope and our trust in him, that he will never let us down. And again, here he says, Jesus says, here I am, and the children God has given me. Since the children have flesh and blood, talking about us, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death, he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all of their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it's not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. I believe it's in Galatians. It says if we're of faith, we have faith in Jesus, then we're Abraham's descendants. For this reason, he had to be made like his brothers in every way. Jesus was made like us in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people, because he himself suffered when he was tempted. He is able to help those who are being tempted. So in the Old Testament, the high priest could only go into the Holy of Holies one day out of every year. He could only go in on the Day of Atonement, which usually happens in the fall. That was the only day when the high priest could go in. Any other day, and any other person, only the high priest, and only on one day could that person go in. Any other person that tried to go in, or even if the high priest tried to go in any other time, they would be killed. It was not allowed. And even when the high priest went in, he first had to make sacrifices for himself, first, to get rid of his own sin, which Jesus did not have to do. And then he went in to make atonement for the sins of the people. And when he went in, the rumor is, the tradition is, they had to tie a rope around his waist just in case he died when he was in there and they could pull him back out. And now we have this amazing new covenant. We can approach God with freedom and confidence. We have this high priest named Jesus who can stand in the presence of God all the time. And in him, we can stand in the presence of God as well. We have this amazing, we can approach him, we can approach the throne of grace confidently and boldly with faith and confidence that God is with us and he is for us. And Jesus went through all that he went through. He's able to guide us through the tests, the pressures, the temptations, the troubles of life. He's able, he knows what it's like. And he can guide us through all of these things every day. And think about when Jesus died, the veil in the temple, that was what blocked the high priest from being able to go into that Holy of Holies. They could go into the middle section, but they could not go into the Holy of Holies. That's where the veil was. But when Jesus died, the veil was torn and everything was opened. The way to God was opened. And it was through Jesus Christ. So we're going to take communion here. And every time we take communion, we do so with holy awe and reverence and honor for God and for Jesus and for what he did for us to give us this amazing new covenant. And every time we take communion, we're proclaiming the death of Jesus. His death is obviously a reminder of all that he went through, all that he suffered for us to make us righteous, to make us perfect, to make us holy, so that he can knows what it's like. He can navigate us through our lives. He went through all that for us. And it's communion is his death was a big deal because it was releasing, his death was needed to release us from the old covenant, to bring us into this new covenant, to bring us into this new testament, this covenant of love, this covenant of peace with God through Jesus. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for this bread and what it represents, and we ask you to bless it in the name of Jesus. And we thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread. He said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." We thank you, Lord. After supper, at the Last Supper, Jesus took the cup and he blessed it. He gave thanks for it. Father, we thank you for this cup of the new covenant. And we ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. And he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood." Think about when the high priest went in there, it was blood. God gave the blood to make atonement. In the Old Testament, he said the blood makes atonement for the sins of the people. The life of the flesh is in the blood, says in the Old Testament. The life of the flesh is in the blood. He's given us this new covenant in his blood, this covenant where God is on our side. And we have to take time to examine ourselves, pay attention to what we're hearing, pay attention to what's going in, pay attention to the exits, what's coming out, my words and my action. And getting to the place where all of my words are full of love, they're full of grace, they're full of truth, because I'm constantly feeding those into my system. And whenever I see something that needs to make an adjustment, I've received my forgiveness and I get right back on track. I keep feeding it in, I keep meditating on it, keep growing it so that more love, more grace, it just continues to grow and grow and grow. And we walk this thing out. It's the covenant, the new covenant, not the old, the new, receiving the power to be made new. And if you're being tempted, you're going through troubles, issues of life, this new covenant, he's there to help. He went through it and he can navigate you through those storms, those temptations, those pressures of life. If you'll rely and trust in him, he will navigate you successfully through those things. But Father, we thank you for this cup and ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. As I was preparing for today, I was actually going back and forth between Hebrews chapter 2 and Isaiah chapter 40. Earlier this year, I was given the gift. My grandfather had passed away at the end of last year, and I was given the gift of his Bible and had a lot of his notes and sticky notes in his Bible. And there was just sticky notes multiple times in there that said, "Read Isaiah chapter 40. Read Isaiah chapter 40. So I went in, I'm reading Isaiah chapter 40. And in Isaiah chapter 40, in fact, I'm just going to read it. I feel like God's prompting us. Maybe it was the answer was both today. Often we talk about in our program, the Abundant Life Blueprint, when we're trying to decide, is it one thing or the other? The answer is usually both. So we're going to do a little bit of, I wasn't planning on this, but we're going to do a little bit of Isaiah chapter 40. As well. So Isaiah chapter 40, it starts with the subtitle is Comfort for God's People. Comfort for God's people. And God has given us the Comforter. God has given us the Holy Spirit. And it says this, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been ended." And some versions say that her warfare has ended. Jesus went through all he went through to get it where our hard service is over, our warfare is over, to stop fighting against all these things, and to just keep our eyes fixed on God. Stop fighting against the darkness. Keep your eyes fixed on God. Your hard service, your warfare has been completed. That your sin has been paid for. And we've received double from the Lord's hand for all of our sins. Not only did God pay for our sins, but he paid double. He paid double. Not only Jesus did he pay for our sins, he paid double what our sins deserve. And then if you look in this chapter, it talks about just the greatness of God. We've got God on our side because of what Jesus did. Because of his reverent submission and obedience to God, he was made perfect through what he suffered. And we have this access to God. Look at just some of these verses about how great God is. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and he carries them close to his heart. It's God carrying us close to his heart. And he gently leads those that have young. You have kids, you have young kids. God is leading you gently along this path because he knows what that's like. God has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand. Talk about the greatness of God here. God has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and the breadth of his hand marked off the heavens. God held all the waters of the earth in his hand. He's held the dust of the earth in a basket and weighed the mountains on the scales and the hills in a balance. Who has understood the mind of the Lord or instructed him as his counselor? But then it talks about in the New Testament, we have the mind of Christ. God has given us his spirit so that we would freely understand all the things that he's given us in Christ. Whom did the Lord consult to enlighten him or taught him the right way? Who was it that taught him knowledge or showed him the path of understanding? Surely the nations are like a drop in the bucket, and they're regarded as dust on the scales. He weighs the islands as though they were fine dust. Lebanon is not sufficient for altar fires, nor its animals enough for burnt offerings. Before him, all the nations are as nothing, and they're regarded by him as worthless and less to nothing. To whom then will you compare God? What image will you compare to him? And then it talks about how he sits enthroned above the circle of the earth. This just amazes me. He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth. We talk about the time of Christopher Columbus. They're debating whether the earth is flat. This was written thousands of years before Christopher Columbus, and it talks about how the earth is a circle. God already knew that, and the people of Israel, he had written that out already for them. It says, God will... Do you not know? Have you not understood? The Lord is everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. God doesn't get tired or weary. And his understanding no one can fathom, but he's given it to us. He gives strength to the weary and he increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord, put our hope and our trust and our confidence in the Lord and his unfailing love for us. And look at how powerful he is. He can do anything. They will renew their strength and they will soar on wings like the eagles, and they will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. How can we do that? Because God's flowing with us. God's helping us. God's empowering us. This Hebrews chapter 2, Isaiah 40, I would encourage you, maybe study both of these passages of scripture side by side, talking about the greatness of God, the greatness of Jesus, some of the amazing things that they've done for us, the amazing promises that they've given to us. But I hope this has been helpful for you. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you can go to theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com.